Say hello, church.
Hello, touch.
Hello, church.
No.
Good morning, church. On Sunday the 28th of June, it's great to be with you all this morning to worship God together as his church. He's worthy of all worship and praise. He has saved us, his sinful creation, through Jesus. We're forgiven and we have life everlasting. And that's something we're celebrating this morning, today, and every day. It's been so encouraging and wonderful to see updates from you all every Sunday, see how you've been doing and what you've been up to. And we have some more of those updates just now.
So, hi, ENBC, Lorna here. It's an exciting day for me today, especially because I'm just going to leave just now to go and pick up my mum, who can now become part of our extended family, and I'm going to bring her home here to our house for a cream tea this afternoon. See you later.
Hello, Gran.
Hello, Mama.
Lovely dress.
Free.
You're free.
I'm a bit wet out of prison.
Into the light. Hello, Jake. Welcome.
Who's this?
Hello! Hello! Where have you been? Where have you been? Oh, my wee boy.
Hi, someone else in the church suggested that I make a wee video just about this book that I'm going to share with you and about a couple of concepts within the book. The book is called Love, Acceptance and Forgiveness. It was written in the 70s by an American pastor, but the book's so good, it's still so relevant today. And in the book, it talks about two concepts: the church as a field and the church as a force. And in the concept of the church as a field, this is what he writes. In the church as a field concept, the organised church is where the people come to do the work of God. So the church is the field. All the activities and ministries are within that boundary, and it's getting people into the fold, into the church. And while some of the activities and ministries can be good, they may not necessarily produce the best fruit. The author also talks about the concept of church as a force. And in this concept, the church is scattered and goes out. It gathers on a Sunday to be built up and then scatters for Monday to Saturday. And to be salt and light wherever you find yourselves. And whatever people you come into contact with, and that might be at work, it might be at the school gate, it might be your running club, it might be some other club or activity or volunteering activity you do, it might not even be a Christian volunteering activity. And to be salt and light in the places that you find yourselves day to day. And a couple of quotes, I love this quote that he writes: Christianity that doesn't walk around in shoes isn't worth much. It has to walk in shoes, in all kinds of shoes, sandals, boots, high heels, flip-flops. It has to walk. And I love the variety of shoes in there. We're called to be salt and light in so many different places and in so many different situations. And I suppose I liken the church as a force to the sort of dandelion. I've seen out in my walk during lockdown so many dandelions, and their heads were just absolutely ready to go poof. And a few days later I walked and yeah, the heads had gone. And the seed heads had gone and scattered to the four winds. And so, of course, many gardeners will be finding a lot of dandelions growing in their garden, in their grass next year. So dandelion seeds get everywhere, and we're also called to go and get everywhere and be salt and light and share the love of Jesus everywhere. And of course, that's what we're trying to do as a church at EMBC through the New Way of Living and the Discipleship Pathway, and just looking to share, be salt and light, and share Jesus where we are. And I think God has forced the church to, the church building has closed. But we have been forced to be the force to go out and to share Jesus with our neighbours in lockdown. And I've been trying to do that, although I'm not necessarily brilliant at it, but I'm trying my best at this time. So there's lots of opportunities to be church as a force at this time. And going forward, hopefully we can build on that and reach out to many people in many different areas of life. For the kingdom of God in East Kilbride. Cheers.
Hello church, my name's Neil. I've been coming to East Mains for the past 2 years now, along with my family, Don, Danny, Alice and Noah. I just want to give you an update on my work situation. I'm a community addiction nurse, work with the homeless community in Glasgow. Work's changed significantly since COVID's happened, as the homeless community have been moved into hotels in the city centre paid by the government. So that's been supportive to allow social isolation, but it's also been extremely chaotic for those individuals, for the majority, because the environment's largely governed by security and not support staff. So and that's been a big challenge for that community. As we kind of go into the recovery phase, the patients are now getting moved into either other hostels or flats. So it's a big challenge for the government because we don't have so many available. So they're doing a big push for that this year. So you can just pray for all those involved in that situation and pray for the right patients to get the right accommodations, because this is a great opportunity for them to get a new start in life where they've maybe not had that opportunity before. So yeah, pray just this will be used really well and the right people get the right places. So pray for that. For my work individually, we usually have opiate replacement therapy, so methadone prescription clinics where people come in and we support them there, but that's obviously been in the communities. So we've been going out to the hotels and hostels, which is a challenge in itself, but it's also been a good opportunity to connect with people differently. Now as we go into the recovery phase, we're getting people back into clinics, and that's been a challenge as people are a bit resistant to coming back into clinics and coming back into a structure. So if you can just pray for peace and security for our service, that'd be really appreciated. Other than that, we're doing fine as a family, and we thank you for all your prayers and support. People have been really supportive towards us, and we're really thankful for that. A wee update, we put an update at the very beginning about our sunflowers we planted, and now that's maybe like 12 weeks on, they've begun to grow. So we're very thankful for our wee sunflowers, and I guess the lockdown and COVID are all still growing and building up. So thank you for that, and nice to speak to you all. Okay, bye.
Hello NBC family, I hope you're all doing well. So I'm just recording this video just to talk about my experience of lockdown and being a Christian in lockdown. So it's been really busy because, as some of you might know, I've had a second child who's a boy, and he's now 2.5 months. So it has been quite a challenge, obviously running after the two boys. But in a way, there's also been advantages because we've not really had to go out anywhere. So we've had to just live at our own pace, you know, at home, and, you know, just going for walks and things like that. So we've had plenty of support, thankfully, from our family, and my husband's been really supportive, letting me go out for walks for fresh air and to run away from everybody for a little while. So it's been really supportive. I've had lots of support from family. My mum, for example, and my sister cooked me huge big meals for the freezer, so I've not had to spend too much time cooking. So that's been really helpful in terms of practical help. I've also had help from some friends from church as well, and just lovely kind messages to ask how I'm doing, which has been really lovely and really kind as well. And in terms of being a Christian, maintaining the Christian life, it has been a bit more of a challenge, to be honest, because it's been a lot harder to find time to, for example, log into the life group Zoom calls sometimes because the kids are up. But also even studying, you know, and reading the Bible has been a bit of a challenge because the mornings have just been, you're shattered in the morning, obviously trying to get all the kids up. And at night, you're also tired trying to get the kids to bed. But what I've found helpful is I've got an app on my phone, which is the Bible in 1 year app that I use. And it's different topics. The guy talks about different days and relates it to different passages in the Bible. So it's one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, and one from the Book of Psalms. So it's been really helpful. So when I'm tired, I'm always able to read that, even if it's for like, you know, 5 minutes before I fall asleep at night. Another book that I think might be useful is a book one of my friends, Dawn from church, brought for me yesterday. So I've only read one page of it, but it seems really good. And it's called Barefoot in the Kitchen. I think you can't see that because that's in selfie mode. Barefoot in the Kitchen by Alice Stibbe. And it just talks about Bible readings and reflections for mothers. So I think I'll find that quite helpful. So thank you, Dawn, if you're watching this. So the only other thing I can talk about is probably Spencer. He's really missing creche because as most of you that work in the creche know, he loved the creche like a lot. So the things I'm doing with him, because I don't have much time to do much else with him, is I'm trying to do daily devotionals with him just before going to bed. So we'll do a song, a Bible reading if he's up for it. Sometimes he wants to read other stories, sometimes up for it. And also then do a prayer before he goes to bed. So he quite likes the routine of that and he's quite enjoying it. And in fact, he's learning quite a few, because the songs we're doing are like Bible, sort of Sunday school type songs. So he's enjoying that and he's singing along with that during the day. So that's been quite good. So I hope everyone's doing well and I look forward to seeing you all really, really soon.
And wide, deep, and wide. Deep and wide, 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 deep and wide.
Well done, that's very
boy,
good.
Boy, for me, little boy, deep and wide, deep and wide.
Yay! Well,
thank you all so much for your videos, it's always so encouraging to see and hear from you all, see what you've been up to throughout this. And I can't wait till we're able to meet with each other in person again, God willing. That won't be too long. And I'll be able to introduce you all to baby Ezra. Here he is. And just before Mari leads us in some worship, hello, April. Saying hello to our wee brother.
Hi, Mona.
Hello, church. Just before Mari leads us in some worship, I'm going to read for us some of Philippians chapter 4, what Mark's going to be looking at this morning. Paul writes, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus." God supplies every one of our needs through Jesus. Thank God for that truth. Praise the Lord for that. Might we cling to that this morning in the chaos of home life. That we would know God supplies every one of our needs in Jesus. Mary's going to lead us in some worship, and then Mark's going to share with us from God's word.
Mm-hmm. Well, hello everyone, great to have you joining with us this Sunday. Thank you to Mary and the team for leading us in that time of worship together. This evening at our Zoom corporate prayer time. At the start of that, we're going to be taking communion together, and we'd love for you to join us. Now, don't panic. Maybe you're listening to this and thinking, oh, I've not got any grape juice or whatever. You know, if you've got, you know, just something, some sort of liquid and a bit of bread or a biscuit or something, then please come and join us for that time of communion. You know, it's a wonderful expression of togetherness as we join and remember our Lord Jesus at the Lord's table during communion. So if you need the details for that, then please speak to Al or myself and we'll get the details to you for that Zoom prayer time this evening. Today we reach the end of the book of Philippians, and we've had a great journey through this letter that Paul wrote to this church at Philippi, a church that meant so much to him. He really loved these people, and that comes out so much in the letter that we've been working our way through. You know, there's also been some other really big themes that have been speaking into our lives through this letter, speaking into our situations today. There's been the big theme of loving across differences. And many weeks ago now, Rory spoke on unity, because Paul speaks about unity so much in this letter. And last week, when you think about it, we had these two ladies that had fallen out, and Paul was pleading with them to reconcile. And when we think of our own situation today, so much tension, you know, racial, political tension, maybe within families, there's tensions. And the church, and I loved what Jenny said in her clip, the church is a force that can show that love isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling, but that God's love is an action that brings about healing in people's lives. God has spoken into our lives about living through anxiety. You know, last week, Paul in the letter was talking about rejoice always and pray continually, and do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer, just bring it to God, and the supernatural power and peace of God will surround your life. And again, I think of us today, still so much uncertainty around COVID-19. This has been a week where there have been so many changes this week, so many changes and decisions, and many of us are trying to get our heads around what does that mean for us. And it's just remembering that, you know, we can take it all to God in prayer. We can live through anxiety. And God has spoken into our lives also about how our attitudes affect our actions. This is a big part of this letter. You know, Paul's consistently given this message: think like Jesus and you'll act like Jesus. Have the same attitude as Jesus. And you know what? It's just been great to continue to hear some of the incredible acts of compassion that are flown out of the church just now, ways that you are caring and looking after the people around about you and your families, your friendship groups and communities around you. And much of that is flown out of that, you know, that attitude of Jesus that you're trying to adopt in your life that is shaping your actions that are flowing out of your life. So we're seeing in this letter then, excuse me, that through Jesus, we can love across differences, we can live through anxiety, and we can think like Jesus and therefore act like Jesus. And finally today, we see that through Jesus, we can learn contentment. Here is God's word again, calling us to action. Again today, on a journey today of learning to be content. Now, this word contentment can be hard to define. It's easy to define discontentment. We know what that looks like. That's like grumbling, that's like complaining, that's being unhappy with a present situation, maybe your work, your relationships, some sort of health challenge. It's a feeling of uneasiness in our lives that just won't go away. Now, a quick side point, I do believe that God places into our lives at times what I would call a holy discontentment. into our lives at times. He brings that to spur us on, to speak out, to spur us on into action. A holy discontentment about a situation, about a cause, about a person that moves us into action. And that's good. But what I'm talking about here are those feelings that we get where we're unhappy with our life. We're maybe looking at someone else and thinking, life looks so easy for them. Or we're looking at what someone else has got and thinking, oh, I would want that. And there's an underlying discontentment that comes into our soul. And I guess if that's how we understand discontentment, are we then saying that contentment is about being happy with our life and our situation? And I don't think so. I think in the text that we're going to look at this morning in Philippians 4, I think you're going to see, don't think Paul is going to be saying to us that contentment is happiness with our situation. Nor do I think he's going to be saying to us that's about having a kind of stoic attitude. I'm just going to get through this situation. I'm just going to tough it out. Because remember, Paul's in lockdown. He's under arrest. You know, this man that loved to be out and about preaching and planning churches and going to churches and teaching and just doing so much, he is in lockdown. He's not in a very good situation at all. And yet he says he's learned, as we're going to read in a moment, to be content. You know, this word content in the original language means independence and self-sufficiency, being content in yourself. But I think Paul, as we'll see this morning today, turns this on his head, on its head, and he shares a secret that he has discovered, and that contentment is not about independence, but about dependence on Jesus. It's knowing that you have all you need in Jesus. And with this in mind, let's turn to Philippians 4 then. I'm going to read through all that's left of the letter, and then we're going to focus particularly on verses 11 to 13. The Apostle Paul then, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes in verse 10 of chapter 4, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content," there's that word, "whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty." Paul now repeats himself. "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him," referring to Jesus, "I can do all this through Jesus, who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, I set out from Macedonia. Not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent me. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And then Paul's final words to this church that he loves so much: "Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All of God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Father God, we've been on a fantastic journey through the book of Philippians, and we thank you so much for how you have spoken into our lives through this letter that you inspired Paul to write to that church all those years ago. Lord, may your Holy Spirit inspired word speak into our lives today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just laughing. I can hear the rain pitter-pattering off the conservatory. This is Friday morning. What is it like in Scotland? Yesterday, Thursday, it was scorchio. We were all baking in the sun. And now today, the rain has come. It's one of the great things that makes us Scots who we are. But let's get back here to our message. Can I be honest with you? I find it easier to be discontent than content. There, it's out there. You know, probably like many of you, we've been going for walks around our local area during lockdown. And let's also be honest, we like looking at other people's houses. We look and we think, wow, their garden looks nicer. Look at that lovely extension that they've put on their house. Well, I'm even sadder than that. I look at their garden huts and I think, wow, that's a great garden hut. You know, it's a nice size, it's got windows in it. You know, I've got a garden hut, it's got no windows, it's a bit damp. It's just crammed full of, well, it's got four bikes in it. And really you can't get anything else into it or get anything else out without getting hurt because it's just crammed with these bikes. And I see these other bigger garden huts. Really what I would love is a man cave. That's really what I'm angling for. And I see these other bigger garden huts and I grumble and I moan. I think, oh, I'd like a bigger garden hut. And it just seems to come quite easily to me. You know, this discontent that I feel. And being in a place, rather than being in maybe a place of contentment with the garden hut that I do have. Now, I know this is a very trivial example. And there are much deeper issues that leave us feeling discontent in our lives. But I am just so, so happy that Paul says, I have learned to be content. This is a class I need to attend every day. You know, teach me, God, how to learn to be content. You know, to learn, to learn contentment, is a real journey in our life. And to be content, Paul has says, I have learned to be content, whatever my circumstances, with much or with little. In any sense, I've learned the secret. Now, if someone says to us, I've got a secret, usually we want to know what that secret is. But Paul says, I've learned the secret. And the good news is he tells us today what that secret is. Verse 13. I can do all things through him, that's Jesus, who gives me strength. And, you know, I said it earlier, contentment, it's not about independence. It's about dependence on Jesus. And when we are discontent, often we're looking to fill our lives with things that make us content. And I believe a lot of discontentment comes into our lives because we're missing or can be missing a key relationship in our lives. You know, the Bible tells us that God has set eternity in our hearts. We were made for relationship with God. And many people have a spiritual thirst in their lives. And maybe you're listening today, maybe you're thinking, you know, I know something is missing in my life. Maybe you feel there's a quench in your soul that nothing can satisfy. And the danger is, figuratively speaking, we start drinking from the wrong cups. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus is a living water. And when we come to him, we will never thirst again. And so when we think about what is the secret to contentment, how can I know contentment? How can I know Jesus meeting all the needs in my life, no matter where I'm at? The starting point is actually coming into relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, throughout this letter, Paul has kept coming back, hasn't he? That for him, Jesus is the best. His whole life is rooted in his relationship with Jesus. And remember back to some of those previous weeks where he talks about forsaking all else, where he talks about everything else in his life being rubbish compared to knowing Jesus and that longing to know Jesus more in his life. And so Paul is able to say, whether in plenty, whether with little, no matter what situation I face, I've learned to be content. Not through something I found in myself, but based on my dependence, based on my relationship with Jesus Christ. He gives me strength. So if you're listening today, the starting place is to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you know you've filled your life with so many things, not necessarily wrong things, just so many things. And yet you still feel empty. You still feel something's missing in your life. You still feel a discontentment in your life. Then let me invite you to turn to Jesus. Say sorry for the wrong things you've done in your life. Thank him for dying on the cross for your sins. Receive his love and forgiveness today. Give your life to him and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit today. The secret of contentment starts in relationship with Jesus. For those of us listening today, and that'll be many of us who are disciples of Jesus already, you know, listen to what God's word is saying to you today. Jesus is in you. Paul keeps saying that throughout this letter. You know, Jesus is in you. And with Jesus, he gives you a strength. No matter what you're in, he brings a strength. And knowing Jesus is with you, knowing Jesus is in your life, knowing you've got his strength, brings that contentment into your life that you're able to face whatever comes along. Let me try and illustrate this for you. I'm a child of the computer age. No Spectrums, Commodore 64, games that took 10, 15 minutes to load up before you could play them, and were always crashing and you had to reload them. I've seen so much development in computers in my life. I can remember the first computer coming to school, and it was only the brainy kids that were allowed to go near it. And so many of us would just sit and this watch as this mysterious object was kind of wheeled down the corridor. What's that? That's the computer. You know, it was just like, what is this thing called a computer? And now look, you know, I'm recording this message on this incredible smartphone right now. So much development in the world of computers that I have lived through in my lifetime. That being said, I am pretty much useless with them. Word processing, I can do. But I'm one of those folks that accidentally will change the font or change the formatting and then can't figure out how to get it back to the way it was. And it frustrates me. And I get really discontented at times and get really annoyed when I don't know what to do. You know, when computer skills were being given out, I got passed by. On the other hand, if I was to buy a shelf and go to fit a shelf, that wouldn't faze me at all. That is something that I would be quite relaxed about doing. You know, it'd be something I'd be quite confident and able to do. It'd be something, a task that I knew I'd be able to measure up to. With computers, I'm stuck. With putting up a shelf, I can do that. And let me bring it back now to our context here. Paul is facing an incredible test in his life. And he doesn't say, I love being hungry. He doesn't say, I love being under house arrest. It's such great fun. He's in a challenge. But he's saying, with Christ in me, I can measure up to that challenge. I'm able to face that challenge. In fact, more than that, I'm able to be content in the midst of that challenge, because Jesus is in my life. Maybe you're listening today and you've got surgery coming up and you're thinking, I don't like this, but you need to know today that with Jesus, he's there to give you strength and enable you to cope with it. Maybe it's a family problem, a personal problem, and a crushed dream, a concern about a job that you're facing. And you may be thinking, I can't cope. With Jesus in your life, he brings an incredible strength. And to help you, he brings a strength that meets the needs of where you are at right now in your life. You know, no wonder Paul says, I've learned to be content. This was a man of action in lockdown. He has walked a difficult learning path. He's had to wrestle deeply, but he's got to that point where every day he's been on a process, he's been in a practice in his life of learning to be content. And Paul shows us the most important thing to learning contentment is personal union with Jesus Christ. Verse 13, often plucked out of context, but Paul's saying, I've learned through all my struggles that Christ is there for me and I can do all things. I'm content because Christ is there for me and strengthens me through every situation I find myself in. He measures up to the challenges through Christ who gives him strength. And that's the same for you and I today. We can measure up to the challenges that come through Jesus who gives us strength. As we are dependent on Jesus, we can know contentment in our lives. It's not about independence then, but about dependence. Not is it about isolation, but also it's about community and partnership. Just looking at the final verses, you know, verse 10, Paul starts by saying, I rejoice greatly in the Lord, because this church, there was this mutual love and they've been helping them out. And verse 15, they've been committed to the giving towards the ministry that Paul's been involved in. And Paul is not celebrating money here. He's celebrating partnership. He's celebrating how they are in a community together, the church family. You know, right back in chapter 1, he says, I give thanks to God every time I think about you because of your partnership in the gospel from this first day till now. And Paul knew that he wasn't alone. And there was other people actually that God was using to bring strength into his life. God was using this local church to do that in his life. And it's so exciting that you can be the person that God uses to actually bring strength into someone else's life. You know, church is not about isolation, but about community, about partnership. It's so exciting, as I said earlier, to keep hearing the great things that you're all doing as you're standing together. You know, life groups standing together, mentoring relationships still going on, friendships, you know, being enriched during this time, you know, phone calls standing side by side with those who are struggling, people you know well, people you don't really know at all, but God has laid them on your heart. You know, Paul was in lockdown, but he wasn't isolated because he was part of the church, God's family. You know, we are a community. We're in lockdown, but we're not isolated. We're part of God's family, and he uses us to be, again, that great thing, that great word that Jenny shared with us, to be that force that goes out and shares love and hope to those around us and strengthens people around us. And maybe God's going to just use you in that way. It probably has been using you, but maybe he'll use you in that week today. Maybe there's a friend that, you know, that's feeling a lot of discontentment in their life. And you just need to be getting alongside them and saying, look at the great things in your life that you've got to be thankful for. And help them find that contentment again through Jesus in their life. But let me finish by telling you a story. I just read this story earlier this morning. I've read it many times before. And I think godly time that he just dropped it back into my mind this morning to share with you. And it's the story of Corrie Ten Boom. You've heard me talk about her before. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy were middle-aged women living in Holland when World War II broke out. Very committed Christian woman. And God laid it on their heart as a family that they should hide Jewish people and try and get them out of the country and fleeing Nazism. And they helped so many people to escape. But eventually they were captured. They were sent to, Betsy and Corrie were sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp. Betsy tragically died while in that camp. But Corrie miraculously survived. and went on to live an incredible life of sharing the message of Jesus, that Jesus saves, that Jesus heals, and that Jesus forgives. But you used to tell this story about when facing trials and how to respond to them. And she used to tell the story when she was a little girl. She went to her father one day, and this is me reading from her book. She went to her father one day and said, "Daddy, I was afraid that I will never be strong enough to be a martyr for Jesus Christ." What an incredible question to ask as a child. And her dad said to her, "Tell me, Corey, when you take the train to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money for the train? Is it 3 weeks before the journey?" She says, "No, Daddy, you give me the money when we get on the train." And that's right, her father says. And this is what her father said to her. "And so it is with God's strength. Our Father in heaven knows when you will need the strength to be a martyr for Jesus." Let me repeat that again. "Our Father in heaven knows when you will need the strength to be a martyr for Jesus. He will supply all you need just in time." And when I read that, I thought, wow, that is what God is saying to us today. That is where we find contentment in our lives. That is what Paul has been saying to this church in Philippi. That's what God's word is saying to us today. God will supply all you need just in time. You know, probably there's many of us listening today who are carrying some sort of burden. Health concern, marriage, kids, some dream that's been crushed, a job issue. This is a message of hope for all of us today. Paul is saying, I'm learning. I've been on a journey. I've learned what it is to be content with much and with little. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that Jesus will supply all I need at just the right time. So let me encourage you today on your own journey of learning to be content. I'm on that journey as well, let me tell you. It flows out of your relationship with Jesus. It flows out of developing that relationship more and more. You know, I've learnt with computers, as I was sharing earlier, I'm not good with them, so I've learnt not to try hard to fix them myself. That just makes matters way worse. I speak to someone who knows what to do. And today, if you're struggling with some sort of discontentment or in a hard place, let me encourage you not to try to fix it yourself. God's saying to us today, you can do all things through Jesus, through my Son, who gives you strength. Give it to him. Let that story as well that I finished with from Corrie ten Boom just speak into your life today. Your Father in heaven knows where you're at right now, knows the strength that you need in your life right now, and he will supply all you need in his perfect timing. And that is where we live out of contentment, knowing that God supplies all we need in his perfect timing. Let us pray together. And then Mary's going to be just leading us in some worship, time just for you again to not just rush on with your day, but to sit in God's presence and to just let what he has said into your life speak, be just kind of confirmed during this time as you just worship God, and just a time of opening your heart and asking God's Holy Spirit to just come and fill you afresh. Father God, we thank you for this word today that has come into our lives. We can do all things through Christ Jesus, your Son, who strengthens us. And Lord, we just open our hands to you this morning. And we open our hearts. And we say, Lord, just speak and minister and do what you need to do in our lives right now. Father, I pray for anyone who's carrying a real burden that is causing deep discontent in their lives. Lord, minister into their lives right now. Holy Spirit, just come and speak words of encouragement. Holy Spirit, just come and strengthen them. Fill them with that strength so they can rise and soar again like an eagle. That wonderful picture that we read of in Isaiah. And here was Paul, Lord, in such a terrible situation. And yet he'd learned to be content. In his life, he knew unimaginable trials, but also times where things were easier for them. But through them all, whatever the circumstances, he had learned that because you were in his life, because he had Jesus, because Jesus, you bring strength into his life, he'd learned contentment. He'd learned to be able to keep going in the wonder of that beautiful relationship that he had with you. Lord, we get to share in that relationship too. And Father, I just pray again for anyone who's listening, who's not turned to you, Jesus, who's not asked you to come into their lives, then right now, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, would you just speak into their lives? Would you bring them to that place of repentance where they would see that you are the only one who will quench the deep thirst, the deep longing that we have in our lives. So Spirit of the risen God, just fall afresh on us all today. And may we know more of your peace and power and presence. And we just ask this in Jesus' name now. Mary's just going to lead us with the team in a time of worship together. And I just pray that you would know God's presence as you continue to worship him now. And go in God's peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please.
thanks so much for joining with us today. It's a privilege and it's a joy to be God's church and to join together like this. I'll close by reading that amazing verse from Philippians again. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Know and cling to that truth this morning. We have all that we need in Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our Saviour. We've got a prayer time tonight at 6:30 where we're going to be sharing communion together. Please join us for that over Zoom. If you need the details for that, get in touch with Al or Mark and they could send you the details. Have a blessed week and know God's provision for you in Jesus. See you all soon.